just look back and see where the Lord brought us from, I can certainly look back on my life and see where he brought me from, amen. The Lord is certainly good, amen. The word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We didn't redeem ourselves. He redeemed us from the hand of the enemy, amen. And we ought to be excited about it. We serve a God that can do everything, but he just can't fail, amen. Thank God for Jesus. He's worthy of our praise, amen. I said he's worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise, amen. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for our deacons and trustees. We thank God for all of you who are here today. We thank God for those who are watching virtually. We thank God for Jesus. Amen. Right now, we're going to have our responsive reading coming from the book of Philippians. We're going to be looking at chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. That's the book of Philippians. Chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And we ask that after we read our scripture, we ask that you can remain standing for our church mission statement. Amen. That's the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And they have it up on the bulletin. And it reads, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both now to be abased, and I now how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, bound to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all abound. I am full, have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smelling sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I have read to you 10 verses in Philippians chapter 4. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his holy word. Now, as we continue to remain standing as we read our church mission statement together. And it reads, the New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church mission is to know all about Jesus Christ and understand fully what he accomplished for us on the cross. We also desire to make these things known in the Bessemer area and the world. We are a mission-minded, soul-winning church for Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for that statement. Amen. That's our mission statement. Amen. And we all be excited about it. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Now we're going to have our announcements, after which we will have our altar prayer by Reverend Walker.
Sunday, January 3rd, in the year 2020, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Pastor Rogers, Pastor Walker, Reverend McCoy, New Bethlehem's officiating ministries, members, and visitors, good morning and Happy New Year. Let us continue to pray for all sick and shut in. A thank you card was received from Sister Roberta Myrie Meriwether and family. Deepest sympathy to Brother Randolph Towns and family in the homegoing of his brother Eddie Towns, and deepest sympathy to the family of Sister Christine Smith and her homegoing. Both homegoing celebrations have already taken place. Announcement. Reminder that Youth Bible Study starts tomorrow, January 4th at 6 p.m. on Zoom Remind app link. If you need more information about the Remind app, please contact Sister Shirley C. Evans. The Bible Study is scheduled for Wednesdays on the church calendar. However, please note all weekly meetings on the calendar are tentative until the church resumes after the pandemic. The Scholarship Committee invites high school students and parents of grades 9 through 12 to register for the financial aid workshop FAFSA, January 11, 2021 at 6 p.m. You must register on the website nbbc.info for Ministries tab Scholarship. Also, high school seniors, please complete the profile form found on the website or pick it up from the outside of the secretary's office. Any questions, contact Sister Sarah Mitchell or the church's secretary. AB Honor Roll report cards are due by Sunday, January 31st. You may mail it, drop it in mail slot, or place it in a tray on the door of the secretary's office. To access this year's tentative church calendar, please view it on our church's website, request via email, or hard copy. It's for only ages 70 years or older from the church office. If you request it by email, please send calendar request to tmckelvey@goodnewsofjesus.org. Again, please note, we are still not resuming weekly meetings on site during the COVID-19 pandemic. We will inform you when meetings resume. This ends the announcement. You are now in the hands of the Welcome Ministry.
Good morning, New Bethlehem.
Good morning.
Are there any visitors? New Bethlehem, you are a beautiful crowd for 2021. You are beautiful. Give yourself another big hand. And we are now back to the pulpit.
Lift our heads. Oh, gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, you're the good God to us. You're kind and you're merciful. You even put up with us. You look beyond our faults to see our needs. We thank you for this day. This the day that you have made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. We find out that we can't keep ourselves. We're kept by the power of the living God. Thank you for this opportunity that we can come to the house of prayer one more time before death. We know everything is in your hand. And oh, Heavenly Father, you just have your way. And let us accept your ways in Jesus' name. You don't put no more on than we can bear. Keep us. We can't keep ourselves. We kept by the power of the living God. We pray to God that you will heal those who need a healing. Touch those who need a touch. If anybody can do it, you can do it. So we thank you, dear God, for last night's rest. So many laid down and still couldn't rest. So many laid down and didn't get up this morning. But by your grace and your mercy, you spared our life to see another day. And this is the day that you have made, and we just going to rejoice in the name of Jesus. Regardless of what may be going on in the world, you're still in control of all things, because you got all power in your hand. You know what you're doing. We thank you, dear God, for giving us the faith to have faith in you. Not in the world, but we got faith in you that you're able to keep us. And we thank you again. Now bless the souls again, dear God. Some, dear God, faith may be weak. Strengthen their faith. Let them know you're in charge of everything. And let us be real in what we're doing, because you don't play with nobody. You got all power, and you can do just what you want to do. And when you feel like it, you don't want to do it too. You can do anything, but you just can't fail. Thank you for the courage now for those who come and heal this land.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Because we need healing. Most of all, we need healing, dear God, because we have left the land of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you got a way of getting us back. You know how to get us back. Because you love us, dear God. You've proved it when you died on the cross, but you got it early Sunday morning with all power in your hand. So have mercy on us. And give us the courage to stand. And let this pastor stand and do all this stand in Jesus' name. Bless his family, dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So keep us now. We can't keep ourselves. We kept by the power of the living God. You let us got here safe now. See us getting back to our destination safe and sound. And everything said and done, you got the glory, the honor. You got all the praises. It's in the powerful name of Jesus. And the whole church say amen.
Bye. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for navigating our niches. Allow us this privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you did. So we give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Where we are, you brought us. What we know, you taught us. What we have, you gave it to us. So, Father, it is in your Son, Christ Jesus, we live, move, and have our being. We take no credit of our own. So we lift up your name today. And, Father, we humble ourselves in your presence because we want you to speak to us. Give us your word. Word to confront, to convict, to change. Lord, that we would be a better people than we were when we came. Lord, you make us new. You wash us with your word. And we thank you. We thank you, Father, for another preaching assignment. Now I pray that as I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. Cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy. He's busy. He's going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, you are God. You are all powerful. And you have power to put him in his place. And we ask that now in Jesus' name. And as I preach, he doesn't hinder your word. But your word will be as seed sown on fertile soil, that it will yield unto you a bountiful harvest. And Lord, when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the praise and honor and glory. As always, we confess our sins and our sinfulness. We ask that you cleanse us from our sins, that we'll be fit vessels to be used by you. I thank you for what has transpired already. Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do. We believe it by faith in Jesus' name. Every heart say amen. Great day. What a wonderful time and season it is to be in the hand of the Lord. God has blessed us and he has allowed us to see another year. This is the first Sunday of the 2021st or 2021 year. And certainly we give God honor and praise for seeing us through such a turbulent, troublesome, trying time on 2020. But God is good. He's faithful. Even if we are faithless, he is faithful because he cannot deny himself. And I'm glad to be kept by the Lord. And I know from seeing the brilliance and the smiles on your faces through the mask that you are glad to be alive. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to have in our presence Reverend Dr. Walker. Amen. Amen. Certainly we thank God for his presence here today and his participation in prayers. What a wonderful soul he is. And I thank God for him every day. His lovely wife was here this morning at 8 o'clock and he's here. And we thank God for his presence. Good to have Reverend McCoy, who has presided over the service, Reverend Williams. Amen. And to all of you, certainly the deacons that have devoted us and blessed us, trustees who have devoted and blessed us and got us ready for the word and the praise team, angelic praise team that has sang so melodiously, blessed us along with musicians, and to my lovely wife. Amen. Amen. And thank God for her, and thank God for the Environmental Safety Committee and all of you. Amen. It's good for us to be here. It's a joy to be alive. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. For this 2021 or 21st year, the year 2021, our theme is abounding in Christ. Say that with me, abounding in Christ. Amen. I want you to get that in your spirit. Abounding in Christ. Not abounded, which means past tense, but abounding, present tense, which means what we are doing now. Amen. 2020 was a tough year. But the tough year didn't take us. God left us here for a reason. And I want us to understand that God left us here for a reason. And then I want you to understand, too, that there is nothing average about you. If you're just an I Christian, you know how people, how you do? I'm I. Oh, there's nothing average about you. There's nothing mediocre about you. The Spirit of God is in you to cause you to abound. You know, don't you let the world talk you down. And I know we're talked about and we people joking gist and jank about us and all of that. And the world don't understand us, and they shouldn't understand us because they don't have the Spirit of God. So I want us to understand this year that God has called us to abound. You're not average. You don't do average. You understand? You don't do average. God doesn't averagely bless you. He blesses you beyond your ability to receive it. You know, I'm trying to get us there. I want to take some time today to help us understand that there's nothing average. Now, that doesn't make us arrogant. But it sure make us confident. Y'all miss me. It doesn't make us arrogant, but it makes us confident. Let me say that one more time. It doesn't make us arrogant, but it makes us confident. Philippians chapter 4. And if you would, let me just show you the four times the word abound is mentioned in Philippians chapter 4. Now, the preaching premise will be from chapter 4, verse 10 to verse 20. But I want to go to verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. All right? Now we go to verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You don't need an empty account. You don't need a spiritual empty account. You need something in your account. If you're going to help somebody, you can't help somebody if you don't have what you need to help them. Y'all still with me now? This is the last time it's mentioned, verse 18. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, abound in Christ. That's what our theme is this year. Abound in Christ. You may be seated. Paul ministered at Philippi during his second missionary journey, spending about 3 months there preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was called to Philippi by way of a Macedonian vision, where it is that Paul saw a man asking him to come and help them. God turned him to Macedonia. During his pilgrimage, his assignment in Macedonia, he came to the city of Philippi. Because of his bold preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he won many souls to Christ. In particular, there was a woman by the name of Lydia. She was from Thyatira. The Bible mentions that she was a seller of purple, which means she was a seller of expensive fabric. She heard Paul preach, and her heart was open to what Paul preached from the Word of God, and she got saved. And not only was she saved, but she constrained Paul and Silas to go into her home because she had some unsaved kinfolk. She knew that they needed to be saved. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us, if you saved and you got some unsaved kinfolk, the same gospel that saved you, you ought to invite it into your home. She thought enough of her children and her spouse to invite Paul and Silas into her home because she knew how important it is to be saved. Not only do we see one by the name of Lydia and her family, but there was a slave girl who followed Paul and Silas as they went hither and thither in Philippi, and she was crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God. And Paul turned around and spoke the word of God, and the spirit of divination had to leave that young slave girl. You would think Everybody would be jubilant.
That's right.
Ecstatic and happy about this girl's deliverance. But this girl's masters were upset with Paul and Silas because they had interrupted their game. Let me tell you now that everybody is not glad about what God is, not happy about what God is doing in your life. They like you better when you had your life in Satan's hands. They like you better when you were used of the evil spirits of demons. Because notice now, when Paul delivered the girl, it upset her masters because their game was annihilated. They had lost their game. And some people, they benefit from your foolishness and devilishness. They don't want you right. They want you to be a backbiter. They want you to be two-faced. They want you to be somebody they can talk this to that and that to. They want you to be a person that's used of Satan. Because when you get right, it annihilates their game. Not only was their slave girl delivered from the spirit of divination, and Lydia and her family, the Bible says when the slave girl was delivered, her masters were so upset that they had Paul delivered into the hands of the magistrates. And they beat them. And threw them in jail. You know, God can work with bad situations. Because in that Philippian jail, Paul and Silas decided to have a one-night revival. And they got together and they started singing and praying and preaching. And when they started singing and praising God and praying, God shook the foundation of the prison. And all of the jail cell doors open. But nobody escaped, because when God has a plan, He'll keep you in His place. He had purpose for Paul and Silas to be put in jail because there was an unsaved jailer.
That's right.
And when he went in and begged for a lamp or a lantern, he was about to take his life. And Paul says, do yourself no harm.
That's right.
Death has not come to you. Life has come to you. And somewhere in between midnight and morning, Paul and Silas went to the jailer's house, and the jailer was saved, and his family was saved. He had a small church there at Philippi, and after 3 months, he left there. But here in the text, he puts pen to papyrus to write this small church with a little budget to express his gratitude because they had communicated with him by way of giving. They were giving into the ministry. Listen, when you give, you are expanding the kingdom of God in the earth. You are extending the kingdom of God. Paul, he wrote them to express his gratitude and appreciation for their big hearts and open hands. Listen, small church with a big heart. Listen, God can take the little bit and work wonders with the little bit. Come here, Jesus.
come here, Jesus. You remember when Jesus was on this hillside and there were 5,000 hungry men, not including women and children. And Jesus asked the disciples, what do you have? And the disciples said, well, we don't have an adequate budget. He said, well, what's in the crowd? They surveyed the crowd and there was a boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He took those 2 fish and 5 barley loaves, blessed it and break it, and gave it to his disciples to dispense it. And when they gave it out, it was more than they needed. He took up 12 leftover baskets of fish and bread. You got to know who you're dealing with. Small church. Big heart. See, God can use a few people to do major and miraculous things. You don't need everybody with you. You have to trust God. Even with a few, you got to trust God, because God can take the little. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He writes to express his gratitude to them because they had communicated with him in ministry. But then he also wrote to exhort them to remain steadfast in their faith and to imitate the humility of Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He took time to share with the church his personal testimony. He had been placed in prison. He wanted the church to know how good he was in God. In prison. He wanted the church to know how good he was in God. He was abounding in Christ in prison, chained to a soldier charged to watch him 24/7, but yet he's abounding in Christ in prison. See, it's not the place nor the people. It's the person you in. Y'all just miss me. See, it's not the place. He was in prison. Most of us feel we are bound. We are bounding when we are in a good place and around good people. This man is in prison, chained to an enemy, chained to a soldier, a heathen, an unsaved person, but yet he's saying that he's abounding. It's not the place nor the people. It's the person you in. He knew he was in Christ in prison. Some of you waiting for circumstances to change. And for circumstances to change, the people around you have to change. And you don't claim your status of aboundment or abounding unless your circumstances change due to the people around you changing. But Paul says, no, you don't have to have a change of people around you or circumstantial change. He says you can abound with the same people around you because you know who you are in. He abounds. Let me tell you what to abound means. It means to super thrive. Be in excess. It means
appears to be superfluous cause to excel. Let me say it again. It means to super thrive. I'm not almost doing anything. He says to super thrive, be in excess, to be superfluous, cause to excel. He knew how to abound in Christ. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem with most people who sit on the pad of pew. We know how to abase. Yes. We have abased so long that we think that's what God has called us to. We know how to make it on bare minimum. Matter of fact, we've been doing it so long, we don't expect anything else. Our struggles and being without has shaped our prayer life that we don't even think we should pray to God for things we need to represent God. We abase so bad. We abase. We know how to abase. We know how to be super broke. We know how to be super hurt. We know how to be at the bottom. But we don't know what top living is like. Because we've been at the bottom so long that we think our place is at the bottom. You said, well, how can you say that? I can tell you how I can say that, because when a person decides to abound, you got a problem. When a person decides to do more than average, you got a problem. Why is it the people who decides to abound become the subject of our conversations? I'm preaching better than y'all. Because we only know how to abase. We don't know how to abound. Watch him now. He deals with this thing of abounding. He says, if we would abound in Christ, number one, there has to be personal contentment. Verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Personal contentment is something Paul learned. He explains himself. It is not what he wanted that prompted him. In his words, Paul says, I have learned. Listen, when a person has learned personal contentment, yes, it's hard to upset that person. Yes. See, some of you are so upset. You upset with people. People on your job. People in the house with you. You upset with people you talk to over the phone. You upset with people you attend church with. You upset because things didn't work out like you thought they would, because there is no personal contentment. That's right. You had the audacity to put people way up there. Yeah. Way up there. Who told you to put fickle people way up there? Listen, I said it 8 and I'll say it again. You have to learn that you are not to trust people
You ought to trust God, because where you have people is a place that's only reserved for Jesus Christ. Listen, the weight you got on your spouse is too heavy. Your expectations, too much. You want them to make you happy?
That's right.
You want them to satisfy you and fulfill you?
Yes.
And what you want them to do, you can't do for them.
Right.
Too much.
Yes.
And you think if your spouse change,
yes,
you're going to do better. Lord, I'm almost running out of time. Will y'all bear with me?
Yes.
Listen, you got that same weight on your children.
That's right.
Too heavy.
Yes.
Same weight on your friends. Same weight on your relatives. Same weight on your fellow church goers, your fellow church members. Same weight on people who works with you, your co-workers. And you want everybody to satisfy you and to give you a sense of sufficiency. That you think you incomplete because the person you with won't act right. And your problem is you trying to abound in the wrong person. That this place, this spot is reserved for Jesus only. He deals with this sufficiency.
Yes.
And I'm okay. I'm okay if I have. I'm okay if I have not. I'm okay, regardless of my circumstances.
Yes.
He says, I'm okay. Though I'm incarcerated, I'm in prison, I'm okay. Because I know who I'm in. And my sufficiency is not based upon the place or nor the persons or people around me. It's based on the one person I'm in. That you can be in the worst of places and happiest and joyous in God. I'm trying to help us. Deals with sufficiency. He had contentment because he was sufficient in Christ, but then he had contentment because he was strengthened by Christ. Notice what he said in verse 13. He's locked up. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He keeps my battery charged. He keeps me supplied with what I need. Watch it. He deals with the potential within the strength. He says, I can do. He didn't say, I am doing. He says, I can do. Which means he looks at what's before him. And he doesn't have a defeatist attitude. He has a victor attitude. He says, I can do all things. He looks at it in the positive You know how some of us, when we are in a situation, circumstance, we tend to look at it in the negative. We look at how much is against us. We look at the glass half empty instead of half full. He says, I can. He says, I can rise above any situation or circumstance in life. Not only do we see the potential, but we see the power. He says that strengthens. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, through Christ, which means the power of Christ God gives to me. And Christ's power is working out his will in my life. Let me give you something. I want you to internalize this. I want you to say with me, I can't lose. Can't lose. It may look like I'm losing, but give me a little time. You know, we love watching sports, right? Sometimes, you know, you can't tell the game by the halftime scores. You'll be down a whole lot by many points, but some way, somehow, in the second half, it's a different ball game in the second half. And when you get to the last seconds of the game, the team that was down, some way, somehow, has made a comeback. I'm saying something here. You're looking at me now and it seems like I'm down. But don't you judge it by the first half. There's more time gone. There's more time. And when I come out of the second half, when I come out of the locker room, and when I hear the coach tell me how to revisit this thing and how to refocus myself in the game, it's going to be a different score at the end of the game. That he's working his will through us, and his will cannot be thwarted. He deals with the promise. He gives a promise of strength. He gives us his ability. He makes us partakers of his power. The same power Jesus got up with, he gives to the church. He gives to believers, so that we can live by it. You remember Jesus says, greater works shall you do. Because we have his ability, his power. Paul deals with abounding by pointing to the person. But then he deals with the partnership in the gospel as a reason for us to abound. Verses 14 and 15, he says, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. He deals with the sympathetic gift. When they learned Paul was in prison, they sent him a gift by the hands of Epaphroditus. They communicated with him in his affliction.
That's right.
Hear me. They communicated with him in his affliction. They were not fair weathered. Some people say, I'm with you.
That's right.
As long as you write.
That's right. That's right.
I don't need you then.
Amen. Amen.
See, we have to admit that we're not always right.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, you don't need people to help you when you're already doing right.
That's right.
You need people to help you when you are considering doing contrary to right.
Amen.
See, if you with me, I can call you and share with you my crazy thoughts. And you being a friend will share a word to get me back in line. That's what you need. See, Paul had reached a point in his ministry where he was incarcerated. He was at the lowest point in his ministry just before death. And here it is, this church said, we're going to communicate with him. So they sent him a gift. Some of you been at your lowest, and you've been like Lee Williams. You decide to lean on a few people, but when you call them, they were nowhere to be found. But listen, God got somebody. He got somebody that'll come up to you that don't even know your name, that'll give you a holy handshake. Y'all know what a holy handshake is, don't you? When they shake your hand and they got some green in it. And you know, you be trying to be, you know, coy, you put it in your pocket, but you know, you're in such a need, you really want to just pull it out and see what it is so you can go on and shout, because what God has delivered through that holy hand is just what you need. All I have a witness in here. You were down to your last dime. You didn't know how you were going to even make your ends meet or even look at each other. And God sent somebody. The people you least expected. God will send people you'll feel bad in receiving it from them. Because you know they don't have it. I'm trying to help us. He says that they sent him a sympathetic gift. They communicated, but it was a spontaneous gift. It was in the beginning of the gospel. They had just become Christians. See, you don't have to be a Christian long to be used as God's hand.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
They were spontaneously sent him a gift. And Paul, he writes to say thank you.
Yeah.
And this is my last point. Paul says, if you're going to abound, you have to understand who's the source of your blessing. He says, you put something in my account for the gospel to be extended. But there's a law of reciprocity. What go around, it'll come back around. There's a law of reciprocal honor. Because you have honored God in your giving, God is going to honor you in your living. And he says to them, my God according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, you have given the little bit you had. He said, but God will never let you outgive him. You give with a spoon, God will give with a shovel. God will never let you outgive him. It dials my mind back to Elijah in Zarephath. When he went down to Zarephath, there was a widow there that had a little meal and a little oil and a cruse. And here it is, the prophet had the audacity to say to her, fix me a little cake first and bring me a cool glass of water. And she went on to explain that I'm out here fetching sticks so that me and my boy can eat our last meal. And we'll just die from there. But when God sent a man of God, his will is not for you to die, but his will is for you to live. For Elijah said, you need to go on and fix the cake. She ran on in the house with a few sticks and with a little oil and a little meal. And she whipped it all together over the fire that she made with a few sticks. And she ran it out to Elijah. And she gave it to the man of God with a cool glass of water. And when she ran back in the house, looked in that same barrel, there was meal in the barrel, and there was oil in the cruse. And the Bible said that God saved her barrel and her cruse of oil throughout the famine. What I'm trying to tell you is when you give to the ministry of God, when you give to the kingdom of God, God won't let you outgive him. So Paul was able to say, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The same God that Paul spoke about is the same God that will meet your needs when you're down to your last. You need to trust God when you're down to your last. You need to have contentment in God when you're down to your last. You need to give it over to God and let God work it out. I'm a living witness that God will give you more than you give him. I was on my way to a devil's hell, wasn't worth living, and I was afraid to die. But I gave God my broken life. I gave God my scattered pieces. I trust God in the life I had. And you know what he did? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place and to die for my good. It should have been me hanging out on Calvary. It should have been me with nails in my hands. It should have been me with rivets in my feet. It should have been me with a crown of thorns on my head. It should have been me with a scar in my side from the pissing my side. But I thank God for Jesus, because Jesus marched up the Via Dolorosa. He gave his hands to the spike. He gave his feet to the spike. He gave his head to the crown of thorns. He gave his back to the cross. He gave his spirit to his Father. And he put his head in the locks of his shoulders. And y'all know what he did. He died Friday. Is there anybody here? Thank God for Jesus. Jesus died that Friday. He died until the S-U-N
men refused to sign. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the star fell from the silver socket. He died until the veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom. He died until a centurion said, "He must be the Son of God." I thank God that he died. But I thank God that he didn't stay dead. They put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in that tomb Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday noonday, Saturday night, but Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hand. Let me ask you my question this morning. Ain't the Lord, if you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Won't he turn it around? He will, he will. He'll make you wrong. It ain't nobody behind you. He'll make you cry. It ain't nothing wrong with you. He'll make you laugh. It ain't nothing fun. Ain't he all right? Let me hear you say again, yeah! I'm abounding. I'm abounding. 2020 almost happening. But halftime came. It's a different ball game now. There's nothing average about me. There's nothing average about you. That doesn't make you arrogant, but it makes you confident. I got confidence in who I am in Christ and what he has called me to do in you too. That you have to keep pressing and plowing. Keep praying and praising God. And God is going to turn this thing around. He's turning it around. We're not abasing. I'm abounding. Even in the midst of a pandemic, I'm going to operate with a spirit of excellence. I'm going to operate in a position as high as I possibly can. I'm not looking for reasons and ways to get out of it. I'm looking for reasons and ways to do. Because I'm going to abound in Christ. You may not have all the money you need, but listen, in Christ is all you need. And if you're not in him, get in him. Get in him. By believing in your heart and confessing him with your mouth. By becoming a child of God. Listen, when you decide to put your faith in God, when you decide to trust him with your whole life, God puts all of heaven on your side. Y'all just missed it. And if God be for you, who can be against you? He will cause you to abound in Christ. Listen, when you go back to work tomorrow, don't you be an average employee. You know how we tend to be trendy, tend to do what everybody else is doing, and
You be the best. Because you're an abounding Christian. When you go home today, abound in your position as wife, a husband, as father. There's nothing average about me. Listen, my older children think I'm strange, and I am. Daddy, you don't have any quit in you because I'm not average. If you do what average people are doing, you get what average people get. My son used to play football. And I said, son, if you want to be exceptional, you got to do more than what the average person or average player is doing. When practice is over, why don't you stay an extra hour? Why don't you run a few more reps? Why don't you pull up the tile a bit more? And I said, son, you're going to see the difference in the game. We're in the game now. This thing is serious. I got to pray more than I prayed in 2020. I got to fast. I got to give up some stuff. I got to read more. I got to prepare more. I got to call and conversate and converse more. Win the game. I got to do more than the average. Because there's nothing average about me, because there's nothing average to what he has called me to. You're not an average deacon. You're not an average trustee. You're not an average choir member. Average musician. Average greeter. You're not an average member of New Bethlehem. You're exceptional. And you abound. You super thrive. Listen. That's what I want us to understand this year. Is that I super thrive. Listen, but for you to do that, I got to go back to the invitation. For you to do that, you have to accept Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior. Believing him in your heart and confessing him with your mouth. If that's you, if you're not saved, come. Give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. Secondly, to be restored if you're backslidden. Listen, most people think because they sit on the padded pew that they are in good with God. Listen, you can be in the sanctuary and backslidden. Let me see, can I give you a picture of it? Come on. Say, for instance, Reverend McCoy represents God. And turn around that way. And I'm God's follower. Walk that way. Walk that way. God is constantly on the move. The moment I decide to stand still and allow space between me and God, I'm backsliding. Because my responsibility is to follow. Where he leads me, I follow. And I go with him all the way. But the moment you decide to stand still, draw your line in the sand and say, that's as far as I'm going. You backslidden. He says, come, I'll rebuild, I'll refocus, I'll re-energize. Birthday. If you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come on, come on. Come on, Sister Shay. She watched night service. Said she wanted to be a member of the church. She has already been baptized, has already acknowledged Jesus Christ in her heart. And I've told her today that I wanted to present her to the church family. Come on, bless the name of God. We love you, baby. Amen. We'll get with you. Amen. With orientation, God is doing a God-sized thing. God is doing it. Listen, while you remain standing, Jesus Christ sent his disciples before him into Jerusalem to prepare a place for the Passover meal. The Bible says they were in the upper room. Does everyone have a cup? If you don't have a cup, come on here, history. Amen. If you don't have a cup, hold your hand up. We want to do this together as a family. Jesus in the upper room took bread, lifted before his Father, blessed it, took it and broke it, and said to his disciples, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me. After they supped together, he took the cup and said, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. It wasn't spilled, because spill indicates an accident. It was intentional. Jesus says, no man take my life, but I lay it down on my home. As I lay it down, I can take it up again. He shed his blood. He says, take drink. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, and hearts have received. Lord, we thank you for our family, our faith family. Every soul here today, every soul that's watching virtually, thank you for our family. Thank you for keeping us through the 2020 year. It's been tough. Lord, you prevail, and we give you praise. Bless every giver that gives the spirit of your word. And I pray, Father, that as we leave this place, you send angels before us. Encamp angels around us. Keep us in the way. And little by little, Lord, as you're preparing the place, you're preparing us. And we believe you and trust you and praise you, Father, for what you have in store for us. Now we pray that your grace and mercy and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them you love them today. Amen. Love you dearly, New Bethlehem. Amen. Love you. Love you.